the August 1st Board of Monclova Township Trustee Meeting. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the first timers and welcome back to those of you who were here the last couple of weeks. Please let me take a minute to say this board meets the first and third Monday each month. We meet in public so that board members can have discussion, make decisions, and do the business of the township. It's not a town hall or a public hearing. Our job is to share information. At times, we offer the public the opportunity to ask questions or share comments. I'm the chair of this board and this year, and I have been the chair several times over the course of my elected tenure. It is the goal of the chair to manage the rules that govern the board. I can assure the residents of Monclova this board wants to find a solution to the fire department staffing issue, which I have called a crisis. We have learned through this process that it is a crisis happening in many communities. It is not, however, a state of emergency. We will continue to work through this process at a pace that allows us to make the best decisions for the residents of Monclova. There may be several steps in that process. We are not decreasing service in any way. It is our intention, with the help of the levy that we are asking to be passed in November, that we increase service and provide excellence. Please note, we may use technology during the meeting. For the purpose of the meeting, if you see me working on this phone or computer, it is most likely that I'm doing business. The fire portion of the agenda has a limited time allotment, but that does not mean the conversation ends. We will continue this to as many meetings as necessary. We welcome your thoughts and questions. Emails or calls is a great way to reach us. Tonight, online comments have been collected and will be addressed. We thank the residents supporting this process and letting us have the time necessary to do this very important work. You reaching out allows us to be better prepared with the issues that are important to you. Finally, please remember that our next meeting, we'll be discussing the sewer project and funding. Our guests will be the health department and county engineer. Sanitary engineer. Would my fellow trustees like to add anything?
For the next meeting?
No, for these comments. Okay. Then I'd ask if there are any changes to the agenda, and there are. I won't ask you, I'm going to tell you. We are having an executive session for the purpose of discussing salary increases and employee discipline. We'll make that motion at the appropriate time, and if it's passed on then, we're going to executive session. Do either of you have changes to the agenda?
Not at this time.
Do you have changes to the minutes for July 18th?
Yes. I was at the time one.
You're so good.
Kathleen, when I was questioning last week, last meeting about the pension funds and running numbers, the township pays 24% to the contributions. Fire and pension employees pay, it's not 14%, it is 12.25. And I don't know what line that is on, I'm sorry.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of July 18th as presented by the fiscal officer with the changes just mentioned by Trustee Vickery.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
I'm sorry, am I doing something wrong?
I didn't think a chairman made a motion.
All the time. I move to approve the bills as presented by the fiscal officer for $798,216.52.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Would you like to review the bills, Chuck? You often like to.
No, just in there, there's a couple $197,000, which is our quarterly remuneration back to the Lucas County Sheriff, and then we have to Gherkin Paving. Is this for Crimson Hollow Herald?
Yep.
$500 and $436,018.82.
That was Crystal Ridge.
Crystal Ridge, okay.
Crystal Ridge, Clearwater, and Crimson High.
And just if I could make a clarification on that, because a couple of people have asked me about, you know, a couple folks back in Crimson Hollow, getting all my seats mixed up, that they thought their roads weren't in that bad of shape, you know, couldn't some of that money be used for expansion or fire department services? Unfortunately, no, we can't. When monies that we collect from a gasoline tax, and I think $10 out of each of your license plates comes back to the township, that money by statute has to be spent on roads. So we can't move that funds. Now, general fund monies we can move around, but those type of monies that are collected from a gasoline tax and license plate fees cannot be reallocated. And also, some roads we try to set up a 20-year plan on resurfacing on our plans. We're trying to keep on that schedule of resurfacing the roads in that schedule. Just a point of clarification. So the next time you're out hanging by the pool or getting ice cream at Freeze Days, hey, did you know?
It takes us to old business. Under old business, we have our fire department staffing conversation. There is a PowerPoint prepared to try to keep us all on the same page and bring us combine all the issues we're trying to cover here. And I guess I have to control it. Where am I shooting at?
Well, you can just tell me next page.
The next page, please. So we are working on creating excellence in service, and the questions the trustees are working through at this meeting and all the other meetings are listed here. How do we cover the gaps in the service? We haven't had service. There's no paramedic service. We need certified drivers. How do we improve response times? How do we compare with national and state standards, and what metrics should we use going forward? How do we improve personnel opportunities, officers, trainings, educators, etc., and personnel issues? How do we prepare for future while managing costs? And how do we explain the importance of the levy? I might have missed some points there, but that's what we've been trying to figure out as we learn coverages are often short. Next one. So this is what was asked for last time. A comparison draft, our standalone department versus a partnership with, this is Springfield Township. This, do you see the word up there, draft? This is a draft. This is for us to have a conversation on. This isn't fact. This is what we glean from what we've learned from Chief and what we've learned from the proposal we received from Springfield Township. There may be other proposals that come to us that we might want to add on here or mix and match. So we're starting that apple-to-apple comparison. We do not have an apple-to-apple comparison today. This is a start. I guess I can give it a try. So when you look at geography, when we're a standalone department, we have Albin Road. When we partner with somebody else, we have our Albin Road facility, which we are not getting rid of. We, in this case, have a Holloway facility, and we have a Chrissy facility. I tried to put in there what we see as options. Three full-time staff on the Albin Road as a standalone. Now maybe it's four full-time staff, and we have three full-time administrators that can also do work. And then when we look at the proposal we've gotten so far, you see Albin Road would have three full-time, a paramedic, and an advanced. And then they use different terms on these. So sometimes it's an EMT, and sometimes it's an advanced EMT. So all that needs, for really clear apple-to-apple, we need some spreadsheets and some deep dive. There would be a leader of the Albin Road facility at Holloway. We heard in the proposal and from Gavin that we would have two full-time Monclova Township paramedics and ambulance, and then there's a leader of the Holloway Road facility. I'm not sure that they would be Monclova Township Fire, though. Chrissy, we would get potentially a full-time Monclova Township Fire Department personnel there, and there would be a leader there. This came up in the emails quite a bit, so you're going to hear about it again when we go through the emails. Chrissy is closed. Chrissy is. Gavin, please take a minute and explain what you explained last time, what people didn't hear.
So, in discussions with Springfield Township, which is just in a proposal stage, not in a contract stage, there's what I called last time discussion points. And in those discussion points would be putting, if I get my terminology right, an ambulance crew there. That would be part of what Springfield would be bringing to the table in that proposal, on top of a two-man crew 12 hours a day at Holloway that would be dedicated to Monclova. So it would be staffing. The staffing here would be three people, and then there would be two people up at Holloway. The details on the Chrissy are still a little not as clear on how that would be staffed in the times of the day, but that is part of the discussion that has been had with Chrissy Road. So it's not shutting down the Albin Road facility. It would still be an open facility here manned and servicing this part of the township.
Right. So again, it's a draft. And if this board would decide we want to know more about the proposal, we'd have to take it further. We'd have to do the actual spreadsheets and pull out some apple-to-apple details. Do either of you have anything to add to this slide?
I don't.
Okay, next one, please. I kept going with geography because mutual aid was asked about a lot, right? So I put up July stats on ours. We gave eight, we received five, an automatic aid. We gave for three, received three. I think what's important in that new report we're getting from the chief is that mutual aid and automatic aid are often canceled en route. And that might be an important fact for us to know, so I put that up there hoping to get that information. I think that we're able to explain how mutual aid and automatic aid would work under one partnership, but I would prefer that we had it done by an expert versus Gavin telling us how he thinks it's going to work. So if we want to know more about that, we need to invite Chief Cousineau in or
Chief Bernhardt.
Yeah, we've listened to Chief Bernhardt.
Yeah.
Thank you for.
Yeah.
Jesus. Any other comments? Okay. I was looking at the partnership side of the paper, and Chief Bernhardt isn't going to speak to the partnership side of the paper at this point. Next slide. Here is staffing. This is what the contract, the proposal chief says. Again, the standalone side, we'd have six full-time employees. We'd have to hire from our current pool, and we'd also have to reach outside. I wrote paramedics are the gold standard. This will be online. You can get this definitely online. And Kathleen, can you scroll down so they see draft? Hopefully this one says draft too. Yes, thank you. 12 full-time employees on the partnership side, 10 part-time employees. Both would maintain paid per call. And I'm not clear on our side, the standalone side, and part-time. I don't think, Kevin, that I have 47 out of 55 right, but maybe I do. Maybe I got lucky listening to you last time.
I believe that's pretty close.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know the total number of Monclova Township Fire Department employees that would be. I mean, you can guess it's 22, but I don't know it because we don't have that in the proposal that's sitting in front of us. Again, if we want to know it, we need to invite that partner in. In this case, it's Springfield Township. Next one, Kathleen. So then I thought, hey, everybody wants to know about salaries. How are we going to do salaries? This all pretty much needs, you see exactly what we need. We need their rate and their benefits. At the end of the page is the total cost of the contract, the number of years of the contract, and additional costs will equal the total amount for our partnership program. And then you have our standalone salaries. So it would be the total cost of the department salaries, other costs, and that would be what standalone costs. Gavin did a ton of work to get this ready for the ballot, so we know that somewhere in this mix is about a $2 million department. It could be 2.5, it could be 1.9, it's somewhere in there. Trudy did a ton of work on benefits and rates at our last meeting. Chief gave us a proposal that he'd like us to act on, and it was in a PDF, and so it wasn't usable, transferable, and we need to ask Chief also to make sure all salaries and those kind of reports come to us electronically so we can use them in the future. So all that needs work. Next one.
You don't know how to change a PDF?
I don't have that software, but thanks. We'll get to your comments later.
Okay.
Here's an org chart. So the residents are who elects the trustees. Currently, we have a fire chief who's the sole authority and the expert we've been relying on the entire time I've been here. For the future, he said, let's consider a strategic plan, and maybe we need a community oversight. We have assistant chief, we have fire leaders. I don't know that that, again, is the right term. And then we have firefighters and EMT. If you look at a partnership, we have the residents again. They elect the trustees. We would have a fire chief, but be guided under a contract. We would have assistant chiefs, we have fire leaders, and we have firefighters, EMTs. Please, any comments, guys?
Rolling right along.
Okay, next one. Then I tried to do the intangibles that people were bringing up, right? So in our standalone, you can see that we have community recognition involvement. We have the chief involved in a variety of township issues. He's not just involved in fire. We have an eye to the future that could involve partnerships and a strategic plan, and there are probably other things that I didn't want to leave off. With a partnership, we'd have a larger department. We would get monthly township reports from the chief and maybe other reporting and involvement. We haven't explored that idea. Again, to be determined, there are contract specifics, like we would be branded. Would there be community involvement? Would there be specialized training or personnel opportunities? If it would all be in a contract, we don't know that. I don't think we know that. And then we'd have the opportunity to share equipment, grant expansion, and maybe shared equipment could go on the standalone department side as well, because maybe we do that, but I'm not aware of it. We're still rolling, so the next page. Ha, that means Kathleen has to transfer PowerPoints. Oh, she's so fast. These are the messages we got last time. I am not going to read these word for word. I'm going to do my best to summarize them. And if there are questions that we can answer, great. If we want to hold it to the end, that's great too. Just speak up, okay? So Dennis asked if we could get closed caption, and that is a no, but we will try to speak more clearly. I try to speak really loudly, especially with the room this full. I think that might be a yes, I do. Thanks. Drew wonders how we're going to create a full-time department when we can't staff a part-time department, and I would say to that, we're working through that question right now. How do we get that done? Carol thinks her question was answered, but she wants to make sure we continue to monitor run times. Tom asked if he could serve on a strategic planning committee, and we have a nepotism policy, so Tom would not be able to do that. Lamar asked about Springfield Station 52 is Chrissy Road, and he asked, like, is it going to be, it's not staffed, how can you do this? And you explained it just now, and to explain it again, part of the proposal would be to open that station again in a bigger capacity than it is now. Andrew asked, why did we get proposals beforehand? We have that timeline clearly spelled out for everybody. It's been spelled out several times. Is it still posted, Kathleen?
Yes.
Our timeline of when fiscal officers went and got proposals, when we might have seen them, when the RFP went out. So it's all up there. Sorry, I just lost. Oh, it's the same question from Trustee Vickery about when we got the RFP proposal turned into Dawn, and everyone answered, Dawn answered it. Next one, yep, Gary asked about how, told us how important this station is. We're not moving the station. We're looking only to improve service, and I'm so glad the department could help. Jeff, a former volunteer firefighter, wanted to meet and ensure the analysis of the alternatives is apples to apples. We did meet, and we'll hear from Jeff later.
Yeah, I did not meet with Jeff Anderson.
No, Jeff met with me.
Okay.
He asked for any of us. It was me and Gavin that met with Jeff, and he went on. You'll see in another email, he went on and met with a lot of other people. He met with Chief. Earl and Louise spoke at the last two township meetings. I don't think they're here tonight, but they emailed us, and they were trying to share a process to how we could best make a decision, and suggested a strategic plan is very important and thinks we should act on that. Earl and Louise wanted to make sure we understood how important tax dollars staying in Monclova are, and wanted to understand better how our neighboring units get paid when there's a mutual aid or any other kind of aid. And I did answer that by saying all tax dollars stay in Monclova, would use those tax dollars to provide better service. And I said mutual and automatic aid agreements don't cost us anything. That's what they are. Greg and Lori wanted to make sure that we put fire as a top budget priority. I think that's in part what you said earlier, Trustee Herschel, that we can't spend money designated for something else on fire, but we can put general fund assets with those fire department assets as well. Linda said the Holloway station could benefit the people of the Brandywine Country Club area, and she wants to continue to hear more about it and understand pros and cons better than she does. I have Jeremy asking that the fire and EMS service are prepared to handle a crisis. This was followed up with a certified letter to me alone, and that action plan falls on the fire chief and the sheriff and will be addressed accordingly. There is no negligence happening in the township related to fire, police, roads, cemetery, zoning, or other issues. Would either of you like to comment on this or the certified letter?
I saw it, but I don't have any comment on it.
I didn't send you a certified letter, ma'am. My name was not on it.
Jacob, Jeremy's son, then sent a questionnaire with lots of different questions. Jacob is a firefighter I had the privilege of meeting with this past week as well. He wants those apples to apples done, and I hope we got closer. We're not there, I understand it. We just continue to work towards it. I wrote on my notes for all these that the path forward will happen in stages as we continue through this difficult issue. Anything for Jacob?
No, and always, I think a lot of these emails were addressed to all three of us, and I did not respond because Trustee Lang did respond to them, so I knew they would be addressed tonight. So if I did not respond, I apologize, but that's the reason why I didn't want to duplicate.
Liz came up next. She spoke at the last meeting, and she wanted to just follow up with her concerns that we heard at the last meeting. We got from Jim Kennedy reimagining fire service and paramedic service, sorry, I said his last name, in the 21st century. The goals are to implement a financially sustainable and responsible service model, to reduce emergency response time, to build a resilient service model that reduces reliance on mutual aid from surrounding communities, and improve the overall quality of all services. They're great pieces of information. I appreciate getting an outside point of view. We got from an anonymous source reports on the advantages of consolidation of public service and Stronger Together, making the case for consolidating rural fire service and reimagining fire and paramedic service. We got a conference to go to, Fire and Emergency Services. The certified letter is not, I apologize, from Jeremy Rands. It is from the Monclova Christian Academy School Board. We got a resignation letter. Did I go too fast, Kathleen? I'm sorry. We got two resignation letters, and we will be reviewing these details through the normal process. We have some questions for Chief. I don't know that I can do this, Chief, without you. Do you want to come up? Do you just want me to keep going and see what happens?
Sure.
I don't know, sure. Keep going. Chief, if your plan was to increase staffing, why did we not apply for the state grants, which was available for hiring staff? It's my understanding that surrounding areas did. And then he also asked if you were instructed to maintain the department as part-time as long part-time for as long as possible, what percentage of shifts have to be understaffed, and what should the experience level be on? Maybe you have to come back with this answer, Chief.
Well, the first one I can answer very clearly. The state grant, as I indicated last meeting that Chuck Herschel brought up, we were not made aware of. That came through a program that we're not involved with. Apparently, it did through LTAP, which you guys received. As far as the FEMA grants, we had attempted that last year to get access to be able to do a FEMA grant for staffing and hit roadblock after roadblock and inability to get into the program because of, we don't know whether it's Harold or Dawn that used to let us have access. So we are hoping that, and as indicated in my proposal that you have before you tonight, that can be resolved before the SAFER grant opens up in January. So one of those two or somebody has to go in and give us access to be able to apply for SAFER grants. That's coming in on the heels of the CARES money that was obtained. As far as the second one, I would have to
do some research. Can I hand it to you and you do some research on that?
I have it in here.
You have it in, oh, yes, okay. Peggy and Steve wrote that we have qualified experienced paramedics and that we should keep our fire department intact. Do I have anything else, Kathleen? That's all I have in my pile that I've made notes on, but something might have come in late.
Barbara, can I make a comment about the emails, please?
Sure.
Okay. In case you guys don't know it, I'm Trudy Vickery, but my maiden name is Yoder, and I have received several emails from different residents in the area commenting about my connection with Springfield Township in general and Springfield Township Fire. So I thought the best place to address this, instead of every individual asking me, you know, can I separate myself from Springfield Township? Okay, a lot of you guys have businesses in other townships. Ours happen to be located in Holland, which is serviced by Springfield Township because Holland outsourced their fire department to Springfield Township. Also, we pay taxes to Springfield Township Fire. My mother was a township trustee for 40 years and did an excellent job over in Springfield Township. So what I don't know if I should take this wrong, but people are going, okay, who are you loyal to? Okay, I pay my taxes for Springfield. I also pay my and live in Monclova Township. So I just want to make a public statement here. My goal is to do the best for Monclova Township. I have no connections to Springfield Township except our business, and my mom and dad still live there who are 92 and 89. So I just want to make sure, if you don't know me, I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from. My loyalty is to the place I live. My taxes get paid here just like everybody else, and I want to make sure everybody understands that you elected me to do and help Monclova Township. If you got any questions, if you were one of those people who emailed me, I would love for you to come up afterwards, hang around, stick around. I'd like to get to know you so you can understand where I'm coming from also. The end. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming out tonight, too. I got been doing a lot of contemplating on this. My wife can always tell me, she goes, when something's wrong, I push more grass, which is a little over an acre, so it's about 3.5 miles. So I just work on my frustrations. I do a lot of thinking. And so bear with me here. I got just some things I'd like to cover. So in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I've been praying a lot lately. Not that all of you have been persecuting me, but I've gotten compliments, I've gotten Instagrams, I've gotten, you know, I'm used to it. So let's just go back a little history here. So 11 or 12 years ago, it was in Herald when we first had our police levy. We formed a committee. We looked at different options. Not necessarily what was best for the township. We came forward with a plan. The voters, fortunate, have passed the levy. We have 24/7 road patrols with the sheriff. Was it the cheapest option? No, it was, and we thought it was the best. I mean, because we had two options. We had either bringing in a house and forming our own department or contracting with the sheriff. I think our relationship has been good with the sheriff for the last 11 or 12 years. And with your support again, we'll renew that for another 5 years. Just like to address some rumors, some speculation, social media. Just like I said, bear with me here a second. You know, there's been rumors that Lucas County, similar to 911, has got this devious plan. They're going to take over all of fire and EMS in the county. I've had numerous interactions with the county commissioners, with the county engineers, with Matt Hireman, who was very instrumental in the 911. I have not personally heard of any action or plans to consolidate fire EMS service countywide. It's also suggested that Chief has been asking for a full-time department for 5 years. And I'll admit, I'm not perfect. Did I miss something? I didn't go back 5 years, but I went back 3.5 years. I went through all of our minutes, all of Chief's reports. and I'm just going to summarize here what I found. And some of this is already repeat information. So from 2018 to 2019, we had a 3% increase in calls. 2019 to 2020, no calls. And then we've talked about the big jump of 18% in 2020 versus 2021. On June 12, 2020, Chief Bernhardt had some discussions with Watergull Township about us covering a portion of their township. In the report, there was no mention of increased staffing. There was an increased cost, but the discussion didn't move forward. In November of 2020, Chief increased his staffing from 3 people to 4 people because we had to do additional work cleaning the ambulance because of COVID regulations. So, in February of 2021, and this is a quote, we're returning to a 3-person crew, but proposing a permanent 4-person crew staffing in the future. Okay. Then in January of 2022, there's a need to increase staff, but our model to full-time workforce in the future. Which brings us to the timeline of events that was presented at the last meeting with the proposal and budget for adding full-time that was presented by Chief Bernhardt in April and May, and then finally today. There have been other online suggestions that this Board of Trustees has a vendetta. We've had secret meetings in violation of the Hire Bias Code, or we're going with Springfield because it's cheaper. Those are not accurate. Okay. It's disappointing that we can't have an open and frank discussion with various opinions without personal attacks, questions of motive, and that's just unfortunate the way social media is these days. I personally, on this, I do have an agenda. And that is to do the people's work and to provide the best services possible, including fire and EMS service to the residents of Manitoba Township. Do we have some work to do? Absolutely. We've missed out on some grant opportunities by not applying, Being responsible for the taxpayers, we must apply for every grant that's available. I mean, for roads, for fires, for safer, you name it. If it's out there, we need to be implied. We need to apply. Applying for grants should be about as automatic as putting gas in your vehicle. We need to put any personal difference behind and remember that we're all here to serve the residents of Monclova Township. So that being said, I would like to propose the following, and please allow me to finish here. Okay. Number one, I would like to direct Chief Bernhardt to develop a job description for full-time firefighter, paramedic, and advanced EMT based on a 48-hour work week. And I would set a goal of this of September 1st, 2022. Number two, I would like to increase all part-time and pay-per-call employees by $1 an hour, effective at the start of the next pay period. Number three, I would like to establish a weekend and holiday premium pay schedule where fire department part-time and pay-per-call employees will receive an increase of an additional dollar per hour from 8 p.m. Friday to 8 a.m. on Monday, and all federal holidays recognized by Monclova Township to be effective at the start of the next pay period. Realizing that many firefighters have a family history and are legacy firefighters, that upon consultation with the Employers Association, the Ohio Township Association, and the Ohio Fire Chiefs Association, establish a Monclova Township nepotism policy for all full-time, part-time, seasonal, and temporary positions within the township. The implementation goal of this would be September 15, 2022. Number five, and this is something we talked about in our working session, establish a trustee liaison for each department within the township. A goal for this position would be attend staff meetings or training sessions for each department, gather employee feedback, and report back to the rest of the Board of Trustees. A goal of attending one meeting each every other month would be established, and the initial liaisons would be, and I'm recommending this is for discussion, Barbara Lang for Administration and Zoning, Trudy Vickery for the Maintenance Department, and Chuck Herschel for the Fire Department. An implementation goal of this, August 15th, 2022. Upon consultation with the Employers Association, the Ohio Fire Chiefs Association, and the Ohio Township Association, and engaging a marketing firm if necessary, develop a marketing, recruitment, and retention plan to better help attract, recruit, and retain new potential firefighters, EMTs, and cadets to Monclova Township Fire Department. Implementation goal, December 1st, 2022. Number seven, direct Chief Bernhard to develop a customized and individual training plan for all part-time and paid-for-call personnel who are not advanced EMTs, or certified engine drivers, designed to bring each person to the next level within the next 12 months, and that's if they're willing to do that. Implementation goal, December 1st, 2022. Number eight, establish a five-member interview committee to consist of Chief Bernhard, Chief Homick, Administrator Grimm, and two at-large members selected by the Board of Trustees. It is desirable that these, in quote, at-large members have over 10 years of safety or EMS experience, preferably be Monclova resident township, residents of Monclova Township, and will be compensated comparable to the Monclova Township Zoning Board members. Implementation goal, September 15th, 2022. And then my last motion or recommendation would be to authorize Chief Bernhard to post for the hiring of up to 9 full-time firefighters and advanced EMTs. We would have minimal staffing of 1 paramedic and certified driver per shift. Salary ranges as described in Chief Bernhard's request, with full health care and pension benefits currently provided to other township employees. Each potential new full-time employee would be subject to a successful background check, pre-employment testing, and 100-day probationary period. And we would have a hiring goal of November 1st, 2022.
Wow.
Thank you. Chief, I didn't want to spring anything on you, but I want to talk about it later and my trustees as well. Throwing it out there.
Yeah, we have an executive session to discuss salaries and salary increase and employee discipline. So your first 3 or 4, you sprung it on all of us, not just Chief, right? That's how we do this job. We continue to have an executive session.
Thank you all for listening to your patience.
Thank you for listening.
I have some other information here too as far as just one other thing as far as, and I'm trying to round some things off here from a budget standpoint. Okay, currently our current levy generates roughly about $1.2 million. We get additional $200,000 insurance receivables, $1.4 million. Our proposed levy is $2,025,000, keeping insurance receivables the same, $2.2 million. So the difference between the two is $825,000. I'm estimating new employee expense with full benefits and everything else at $975,000. So a shortfall of $150,000, which I'm estimating, and I think I'm conservative on this, that there'd be a reduction in part-time wages of $140,000. So our shortfall is $10,000 overall. And like I said, I'm rounding, so our...
That's with your you 9 instead of Kevin's 6?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there are probably many immediate actions that can be taken to improve our current situation. And hiring will take a while. I think your deadline, you read it, I can't remember it all. Your deadline was November 1st or something like that. And I don't know if you want to.
I'll just share with some folks. We have been reached out to, you know, as far as like the interview committee. We've received emails of trustees and phone calls from retired folks. You know, we have active adult communities in the neighborhood, in the township, that there are some retired firefighters, fire chiefs, who have offered to help.
Awesome.
And we're, and so that's where it's like, hey.
I'd like to be that. I would like that to be one of the first things we do, is put that strategic plan committee together.
You know, and one other thing, as far as the deadlines in here, one of my frustrations from the private sector to the public sector is the wheels turn a lot slower in the public sector. So I think it's, in this situation, it's imperative that we set aggressive goals and set timelines. Because, you know, we don't want to kick the can down the road. All of you are here for a reason. I know we need to be thorough in our process, but in talking to, I probably talked to 100 different residents or more on this issue. I think the overwhelming majority, and Kathleen, I think you said it, that we are servants of the people. It's imperative to listen to people. And there are, you know, advantages to looking at Springfield's plan, but it's not what the people want.
I'd like to make one comment. A lot of you guys think the only thing these trustees do is sit up here for 2 or 3 hours twice a month. Social media, okay? So let me continue, please. I just want to tell you that we all put a lot more time in it than just these meetings. There's JEDD meetings, there's zoning board, there's JEDZ, there's conversations. You get calls all weekend long. The weekend sometimes lately for this past 2 months have not been our own. You know, obviously, working out figures. Chuck, you just heard how much work he does. Barbara does the same thing. So I just want to let you know, if you're thinking, well, we just come here and we go ahead and just put our time in and leave, I want to let you know this board works really hard. And also, I would like to thank the previous board, because the previous board has gotten us into this financial stability by the work they have been doing for the past 10 years with the joint economical development zones. 6 or 7 years ago, the full-time might not have been available just because of the funds. So I want to publicly thank all the trustees who have put all this hard work in to make Mount Clova the township it is today. So I just wanted to throw that out to you. We work very hard for our paycheck up here too. We do get a paycheck. But we put a lot of time and effort talking to people, like Chuck said and Barbara says and all this. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you.
Trudy, you just heard Chuck's proposal for the first time. I surely, from the first reading, think there's some points we could cover tonight, or we could solve some immediate issues with. Do we want to do that? The salary thing, I want to go into executive session and talk about.
Okay.
I don't think what he suggested is at all worthwhile. It needs to be a significant pay increase, and that doesn't make it.
You're talking about like the part-time?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So that can wait till...
I wasn't sure.
We get to... Yeah, that part. But there are... I'm just trying to organize how we can do any work here tonight. I don't agree with Chuck that the people in this room have spoken, but out of 100 people I've talked to, there are just as many people who would be excited about listening to more information from Springfield Township.
Wait.
opposed to continuing that discussion, but I still think we could implement some of this discussion.
Well, Chief, do you want to come up and give, can you come up and give an idea of what you have sent to the township trustees as far as explaining stuff?
Right, because part of what Chuck asked for has already been done.
So,
a lot of what Chuck brought up was based on conversations that we've had, and thank you, Chuck, for doing that.
Kevin,
speak up.
He's got a stuffy.
So, what Trustee Vickery is alluding to is my place to request. We've had many discussions, both in the meeting and as well as since the last meeting and the prior meeting. So what my proposal is to request approval of the position description of a full-time firefighter paramedic, and then approval to create 6 full-time firefighter paramedic positions, and then the approval to move forward with that hiring process. The full-time firefighter paramedic would be a non-exempt regular full-time position, scheduled 24-48, so 24 hours on, 48 hours off. They would be scheduled with a scheduled day off of what is referred to in the fire service as a Kelly day, each 21-day cycle. So they would be regularly scheduled 96 hours per pay period, equal out to be 2,496 hours annually. This will provide for 4 firefighters on duty each day, 2 full-time firefighter paramedics, and 2 part-time firefighter paramedics or firefighter EMTs would be provided. So there's a total of 4 each day. This would ensure that we have at least 1 medic on shift each day, although most days there are going to be 2 or more that would be on duty. And just a reminder, this is in addition to the existing 3 full-time that we have on Monday through Friday and available to come back as well. And as was mentioned earlier, we are all cross-trained. My recommendation would be after the first of the year or after the levy passes that we move forward with hiring the additional 3 full-time, which would give us a total of 9. And those would be firefighter any level, firefighter EMT, advanced EMT, or paramedic. And that way, we're fiscally, I think, responsible by not overspending until we know that the levy's going to pass, so we can do some stuff even if it doesn't. So when we look at our personnel costs, recommending an annual rate of $60,000 for the full-time firefighter paramedic, based on the wage survey that Assistant Chief Holmick did, the average starting salary in our area is $58,000 for firefighter paramedic, with a top step salary of $71,000. The cost per position, $110,919. Again, that's based on our highest potential cost for our benefits, in other words, the family plan for each one. If they don't do that, those numbers would be down a little bit. So the annual cost for all 6 would be $665,000. For the firefighter EMT, we would recommend a starting annual salary of $52,000. Again, going back to that survey that was done, the starting salary average $51,000 and the top step being $61,000. That's for our general area. Again, based on the highest possible costs for the benefits, and the total cost per position for all 3 would be just under $300,000, would be $299,500. As we discussed earlier, we would be presenting for approval a step program that considers longevity in our salary scales that we have. There is another option. We can establish a minimum daily staffing level of 4 per shift rather than 5, which we would be at after the first of the year. If we were to establish a minimum of 4, then we could reduce the personnel cost by $100,000 annually, still maintain 1 paramedic firefighter per shift, and that would result in about 12 days per month that we would end up with 4 crew members rather than 5. But again, an not recommending that. That is an option. Which that would give us either one engine crew or two medic crews if we were at the minimum of four. So another thing that has been talked about is a ambulance during high volume times. When we look back at our call volume time periods and we had to look at our number of patient contacts, we looked at 2021 and the first half of 22, and what we found is that essentially our call volume is pretty standard or equal across the board with the exception of the midnight to 5 to 6 a.m. So I'm not sure that at this point, based on our call volume and what we're seeing, that having a dedicated crew for only a portion of the day really makes sense. But again, based on this, we're providing five people at this station 24 hours a day based on what I'm asking for.
Five on top of the three.
Five on top, yeah. So we'd end up with a total of eight, correct. So what does this do? It reduces our reliance on our part-time to ensure the coverage and shifts that over to the full-time. It ensures that we have a minimum of one firefighter paramedic, generally two or more that are going to be on shift each day. Reduces the need for reduces the number of part-time personnel needed by 50% or greater. And then again, provides for the daily staffing at five or a minimum of four if that's what's chose to do. Put together a timeline for hiring process. So with your approval tonight, advertisement and screening would take 2 to 3 weeks. We would post a position internally for our internal candidates. Externally, can be done through email trees through the Northwest Chiefs Association, the Ohio Fire Chiefs Job Posting Board, social media, web page. There's also places out there like National Testing Center, firejobs.com, all kinds of places that you can post these positions for. Physical agility testing and interviews would be 2 weeks. We would schedule the physical agility test to be completed the week of August 22nd. Interviews would be scheduled for the week of August 29th. And then you would be in a position at your September 6th meeting to have conditional offers of employment for those first six candidates, whereby after that we would be completing the FBI ABCI background, which takes about 5 to 7 days to get results back from that. The personal and employment backgrounds, which in the past with Captain Bachelman's position, Dawn handled those. Hopefully it would take 2 weeks to get that back. And then scheduled for the pre-placement medical physicals through AccuHealth the week of September 12th and September 19th. And typically we get 7 to 10 days for the results on that. So based on this timeline, which I think is a realistic timeline, we would actually have people on shift beginning September 26th, if not sooner. There are some things that we would need to do. Personnel policies would need to be updated. For example, vacation policy, this is the first one that comes to mind. Vacation policies are based on 8-hour days, 40-hour work weeks. That doesn't work well with 24-hour shifts. So we would need to be doing some of that, which can be happening as we go through this process as well. And then the strategic planning, as I mentioned before, was recommended in 2012 and 2017. I think we need to get that done. And I think I heard that as a priority for you as well. So the costs, we talked about basically if we do the four position minimum, we're at 1.9. If we do the five position minimum, including which would cover the Kelly Day coverage, we're at 2.031 annually. When you add in our operational costs, which that would be apples to apples between us and Springfield as well, you're looking at 2.4 or 2.3, whether you do the four or the five. So, which if I looked at the proposal from Springfield correctly, they were at 2.54. So we're still under that. We're providing 8 people here per day dedicated to this building or this township.
Please. Okay. questions on your report here, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You have six firefighter medics, 110,919. From reading this, this would be all inclusive per se, benefits.
Yes, ma'am.
Health insurance, 24% that the township has to chip in for their retirement. So that's an all inclusive figure for the six firefighter medics. And you have three firefighters / EMTs underneath with another amount. So is that, so that's nine here that you have proposed. So is that three full hires with one of three shift?
Three full time per shift.
Okay. But on the front, you have that you want two full time, so that would be a six person and not a nine, but you have a proposal over here for a nine. Am I reading this correctly?
Yes, but for clarification, the additional three, my suggestion is to wait until after passage of the levy because of what we have in surplus is $2 million in surplus right now between our fire levy and our EMS fund. So what I'm asking for tonight is the okay to go forward with hiring of six, which will give us two full-time per shift. And then after passage of the levy, we would hire an additional three, which would give us a total of nine full-time.
Do you have a problem with the nine full-time now while we're doing this? Because everybody in this room is going to go out and campaign for the fire levy. If we have a nine-person full-time personnel instead of two and two, I think it would work better on a full-time fire department to go with the nine instead of the six.
I have absolutely no problem with that.
These deadlines are not met. We do not attract these enough of the personnel that we need that you have stated that we can get. Okay. What happens then? Does it come back to this board or you see what I'm saying?
During the entire process, we will, and if you have the liaison with Trustee Herschel, I have no problem being in communication with him on darn near a daily basis to keep you guys posted on what's going on.
Can we also include Harold as a focal point for communications
sure.
also?
That's absolutely out of the problem. That.
But this, what he's proposing is would be the initial hiring. So if we do it for the 2 to 3 weeks and we don't get enough candidates, we would need to put it on for another
two
to 3 weeks, per se, so that we could try to attract additional candidates. But
I think Chief and I have had this conversation before that anybody who employs people, a lot of times, they come from other places where they don't get along with people. So we want that if this goes through, we want it to be a team effort. And you told me it's a very small, firefighters are a very small community, a small family. So the only reason I'm suggesting that is because we want good quality personnel coming in. And I think it would go much better to go with the nine already off the bat.
And your job description is attached that you actually your number one bullet point is attached.
Number one, right. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take care of number two and number three in executive session. If we're interested in moving forward without further discussion, I am just focusing on Chuck's plan. You know what I should probably stop and do is ask for public comment right now.
Well, I guess I have a couple comments. So, like,
okay.
And I guess, and this, and I'm referring to our human resources law director here. When did we appoint Scott May?
Scott Buckman?
But a question came up that I guess we appointed the firefighter as long as he didn't report to his dad. So and then
that I want to talk about all those things.
Then
the nepotism policy you suggested, the hiring committee needs to be in place.
Yeah, so I heard through the grapevine, well, that's why he applied because he wanted to work with his dad. So I can't imagine, you know, out of how many fire departments there are in the state of Ohio, that there's family members working together.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why there's got to be a policy that's family friendly, but still where nobody's getting special treatment. So that's why, you know, some of the things, yeah, how do we structure that? So like I said, so everything's open and honest, and like I said, there's enough fire companies, enough family members working statewide. There's got to be policies in place.
It's already there.
It's already there. So that's one of the things. You know.
Can we come back to this discussion after we hear public comment?
Sure.
Are you fine with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Maybe.
Jim, Chief.
I am going to accept public comments. Then you're going to keep time with us again in 2 minutes at a time. We didn't have you sign in. We've worked well and going in sections, right? So we'll do that again tonight. We understand you all are happy with Chuck's proposal and you appreciated what the chief said, so I don't think we need to hear that again. But if you have some comment you want to make. Yep, I'll start right in the back.
Monclova residents only, please.
Yep, they want me to say Monclova.
Monclova residents only, please.
Yes, come on up.
Okay.
I'm going to start back there and I'm going to work my way up.
Possible suggestion.
Yep, you got to come up and say your name and you give us your address. And we make this all very official. Thank you for doing it.
Hi, everybody. Hello, board. My name is Carol Leminski. I live in Renwood. I'm a retired respiratory therapist. I do contract work in the winter for COVID patients, and I used to run a respiratory therapy department at UTMC. And what we did for our staffing problems is we created positions as called per diem, and they didn't pay call, they didn't pay benefits or anything. There were people that worked at other hospitals that had the skill sets, and they were required to maintain them and work maybe a couple days a month. And so they were paid the same wages or maybe even a little extra, a couple bucks extra, to fill in the spots that had holes in them in our schedule. So we never had holes in our schedule. So I just
super creative
suggestion.
Yep. Apply it to healthcare.
And that's what the hospitals do to fill in their holes.
Thank you.
Just to mention.
So I'm going to move forward. Is there anybody else in that back row that wants to speak? Then I'm going to move forward. One. Yep, come on up.
Dave Burkhart, 5072 Lake Breeze Lane, Maumee, Ohio, Waterside. I was here a couple weeks ago and got to spoke. Chuck, I appreciate what you brought to the table tonight. And I worked in private sector many years, and I also worked a few weeks in public sector. And trust me, I saw enough in 6 weeks to understand the differences. Your goals, you set some pretty tough targets here, but that's a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Stretch yourself, okay? Doesn't mean you're going to get all the way there, but you'll get there. So I think you need to do that. I just have a couple questions for the trustees. You have a long-range plan for your roads and bridges and harbor and stuff like that, right? You've got a plan for roads.
We don't have one for our harbors.
Well, okay. Bridges, roads, sewer plans, right? You've got a strategic plan for all that?
That's a big word. We
okay,
have a
do you have
plan.
A five-year plan? That's what I'm asking. So you've got a five-year plan for that. Do you have a five-year plan for demographics?
We have a land use plan.
No, I'm talking about age.
Yeah, that includes demographics.
Age,
in it, and that
age of your
expect.
Employees and everything.
No, we don't have human resources.
Equipment, obsolescence, you've got all that in there, okay. Then you're on the right track, but you do need that also for your fire department. Okay, you need to have an integrated five-year business plan, which it sounds like you're pretty much there for the most part, but don't lose sight of that. The other thing about what I heard tonight was I heard some back and forth about grants, and we missed out on a few grants. Those are things that are relatable to the residents of the township, okay? That's money that's, if it goes away, it goes away. And I go back to the issues with the airport. You've all seen a lot of articles about how they've kind of let some opportunities slip by. So I stress to both the trustees and all the departments, please work together to make sure you don't lose those opportunities. It's not about, you know, well, I didn't know this or I didn't know that. It's what you should know, okay?
Thank you.
All right? It's what you should know, not what could have been done and what needs to be done.
Right.
Okay? We relate to that.
Right, and that's right now. We have some work to do.
I understand, and I'm glad you stepped up and said that, okay? Because that needs to function in lockstep. That money, there's money out there. And I think, yeah, you need, like you said, you need to work on that. But as long as you've got a five-year plan moving forward and you got all this integrated, I think you'll be a lot better served, and it will serve the community a lot better, too.
Thank you. So the row ahead of him? Anybody? Next row? I'm now with your row. I'm getting to that side.
No, sorry.
Yep, go. Sure, come on up. I know, going backwards, I can't count.
Andrea Boren, 10835 Ram Road. Been a Montclover resident since 2017. I didn't hear the answer to that question that Trustee Vickery asked. How can you guarantee that we will get qualified applicants by this timeline?
That's it.
Put the advertisement out there and we'll see the screening process the same as anybody else.
Right.
And
so we don't know that we will, but we're going to.
Then what is the follow-up?
That's what we need to discuss still. We need to still discuss. So Chuck said that in his proposal, that this would all be done by December 1st or November. Which one is this one?
Hiring
is November 1st. Chief suggested it would be done by September 16th or some date like that. There are some things that need to be in place. Chuck said a hiring committee. So I think Chief's probably a little on the fast end. And there, when it's not done November 1st, that's going to be a problem. Right. I think that's
and
what
then,
you're getting at,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then we are going to be in this same situation.
We will be in a similar situation. And maybe that's what's required, or maybe that's what Chuck is suggesting is required.
We have this staffing issue was identified in January. We are at month 8. The initial issue was that there was a 12-hour shift that had nobody at the station. 8 months later, we are no closer to having that problem solved. August schedule, there are 13 shifts with one or nobody staffed. 8 months after this problem has been identified, same issue. Where is the accountability? Where are there decisions being made that will improve the safety services for this community? Because I don't see it.
Right. So I would say, to answer your question, that side says we're accountable, and this side says, Chief, what are we doing?
This side says this table is accountable.
Yeah.
Irreparably, because you cannot make a decision.
No, that's not true. We're working through the decision.
Eight months. Eight months.
Not true.
I will have to say something, though, and again, we showed the charts on the staffing issue. I had an email.
It was April.
To the chief, and you guys must admit, we did not know there was a staffing issue until
nope.
I asked for the shifts in April. So everybody, I'm sure a lot of these people,
so that's
a lot of these individuals did not realize, and I'm going to tell you right now, chief, you know I stop in all the time. And there was one person here on Saturday. There was one person Saturday night. I stop in all the time. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how you're going to fix the temporary problem. We're going to try to help you. But you have never come and said, I have a staffing issue. Until I ask for the reports, you've been asking for full time. You know, to be the person in charge, you should have come and approached the trustees. We should not have had to find out that there was a staffing issue through other avenues, which how we found out.
I don't want to interrupt. This is my time to speak as well. So I understand what you are saying, and I appreciate the proactive approach that you have taken since you have gotten on this board. However, he is accountable to you. So you can say and make excuses that he didn't come forward, he didn't tell me this. At the end of the day, the buck stops here. You are in charge of this. So if you do not have a leader in a position that you trust can do the job, then why is he still here?
Well, I believe we're addressing the situation to correct it as quickly as possible. I mean, as I said, I'm not perfect. You know, we're trying to give the best, you know, and I'll reverse the same thing. What do you want to pay for? We could have had...
I want to pay for a service that is going to provide a paramedic and a Fire 2 certified guaranteed. I want a medic on every EMS call. Right.
And that's what we're proposing with the levy and the staffing model that I presented.
You can propose all day long, but if you don't have a set plan, you guys mentioned at the beginning of this meeting that there were two resignations. There are three, actually, that just happened last week. Two paramedics, one EMT. One paramedic been longer than 15 years on the department. One about 3 years. One EMT about 5 years. Three resignations in the last week. You can't even retain employees that you have, and you think you are going to be able to attract new qualified candidates.
Can I address the resignations?
Somebody wrote this for her.
No? Okay.
Excuse me. Did I hear someone in the back say something?
Please.
Okay, stop, okay. Stop. It's been 2 minutes. We appreciate your comments. I hear you clearly. This board hears you clearly.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Sorry. Should I finish?
I would just like to clarify that.
Yeah, sure.
The one resignation is Mike Hampton, who had issue with me. The other two resignations both work at the same station with her husband in Springfield Township.
And I'm sorry, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm just putting the facts out there.
I think that the resignations are still our problem. Okay, we're at the second row now. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be here. My name is Janice Keck, and I live in Crystal Ridge. And mine are just really general questions. But one, when will the decision be made whether we're going to stay local or consolidate?
Well, I thought we were working through that process, but it seems like we're getting closer to an answer. So would it be tonight? Would it be next week? Would it be we're getting closer?
I didn't follow up. Will that decision be made before the levy on the ballot?
It sure seems like it.
Get it on.
Yes.
Because it'd be kind of hard, you know, to decide, am I going to vote for a levy if I don't know what's going to happen to my fire department? So, and as far as the additional firefighters, you know, if we keep it here and we want to hire these same firefighters, wouldn't Springfield have the same issue if we were consolidating? They would also need more firefighters. We're competing for the same group.
There's issues with firefighters nationally. There's shortages and everything else. So, I mean, this is not unique to Mount Clova or Springfield. It's a national issue.
Okay, and one last thing. If the consolidation were to go through, how would the funding be? Would Mount Clova be assessed a certain percentage?
Yeah, that when we worked with Waterville and White House, that's what we learned, right? That it would be an assessment wasn't favorable. Chuck brought up consolidation and the fact that he has never heard of it in my speech or in his speech, and I heard comments from the gallery that it was just me that said it. When I was working through all this information, that started in April, you got to talk to a lot of people that I've never talked to, firefighters and fire chiefs from other communities. And Mike Bell started with a consolidation plan, and it's much like 20A and the highway to the airport, right? That is a plan that is always talked about that may or may not happen. I also talked to a current Toledo deputy chief, if I have the title right, and consolidation is very much on the table. I think the mayor of Toledo, again, these are Toledo or county directives. Will it get this far? I don't know. Should we be the leader and consolidate our neighborhood or our surrounding communities? Maybe. It sure seems like Springfield's doing that. So,
well, I understand that. But, you know, it's frustrating. And you think about the future, that if the consolidation goes through, we're going to be assessed with no, you know, we lose total.
It would be a Lucas County, right? It would be a Lucas County
like
tax.
911.
Right.
Okay. We didn't have any say-so on 911.
We didn't have a single thing. And we are taxed for
it. We're taxed for it. So that Lucas County went ahead and had enough votes for the 911 consolidation. There was people against it, but ultimately the end result came from Lucas County, and we all got drawn in. So I think what Barbara's trying to say, 5 years down the future, you don't know what it's going to look like. You know, Lucas County could come in and say, you know what, we're going to have five different districts. And we might not get a vote on these different districts because of the county commissioners and the county himself. So
yes. Okay.
In 5 years, I wish I knew where I was going to be. But if I go today, I know exactly where I'm going.
You and me go.
Right.
So, one other thing, just yes. Ever so quickly, but, you know, the thought occurred to me. Okay, so here you have this big consolidation. Okay, you got Springfield, you got Holland, you got Monclova.
Yes.
Who knows? So they have X number of trucks or whatever.
Yes.
So who's going to get the priority?
Yeah, that would be the mutual aid and automatic aid slide ahead up. We would need to discuss that.
So that
could be a moot point. Right.
Could be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice.
Kathy, you wanted to speak?
I'll try to be quick.
You
thank
get
you,
two
Mr.
Minutes.
Hurst. So first of all, good evening, my Clova. I'll take my mask off since I'm probably. My name's Kathy Conlon. I live at the Ridge in Monclova. I have lived here since 2000, actually 7. I misspoke. I said 2008. So, Monclova actually means one clan. If you didn't know that, read the website. A clan is more than a family. It's a group of people with common goals, common values. Okay? So I think this sense of community is truly Monclova. Clearly, with leaders who recognize those common goals. And we're more than a school district. We are more than a fire station. We're neighborhoods who put on parades for seniors who aren't getting to graduate. Right, what can you do? My concern about consolidation, Mr. Pike mentioned, is a wave of the future. I looked at Springfield Township and their fire department, and I've got the numbers in front of me. And who they consolidated with or absorbed was Spencer Township, Harding Township, Swanton, and Holland. As of 2020, they were servicing 50,000 residents with four stations, which would actually, with our current population of closing in on 20,000.
16,000.
Then one more station would be a burden for them, right? I don't think is there any realtors here tonight? Yes. Would you compare property values in Monclova with Spencer Township or Harding Township or Swanton Township? No. So we are an upscale community. We can afford our department. We can afford our services, and we want to afford those services. So a plan for communities that don't have the financial resources. Then, bravo, bravo. Good way to go, but we do have those resources. And Ms. Lang,
that's all right.
I have known people thought maybe I don't get along with Ms. Barbara. That is not true. I have known her since.
Who said that?
I can't imagine. Actually, but anyways, so I've known her a long time. So I just want to let you know, though, we want to be independent. Thank you for pushing through that independence.
And we've never not passed a levy in 20 years.
I agree. We've never not passed a levy. This levy isn't going to be hard to pass. I wanted to make sure the residents knew how much it costs for the sheriff's service and how much it costs for the fire service, and got transparency in voting. I wasn't interested in putting another levy on next year, cover this fire department this year, and increase you next year. I want complete transparency, and you're going to vote for it. I'm well aware of that. Because I bring a new idea or a different thought to this board or to the residents, doesn't mean I don't get along with you. We went to the same grade school. We've been on the PTA together. We've known each other a super long time. I don't know who would say that. And it goes with the social media. And I have to say this. Thanks, Kathy. Your 2 minutes is up. I have to say this. I was at the kindness campaign for Lucas Boyle this weekend, and that 14-year-old took his life because of cyberbullying. And I would think the adults that send hateful comments via social media and mail might want to reconsider what they're teaching their children. I'll take this row. I asked for the second row. Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
I'll make it short.
You get 2 minutes.
I know, but I'll make it short. Joan Meyer, you know the whole. Yeah, the whole thing. You know, I really appreciate your work that you've put into this, Chuck, and your comments tonight. I would like to make a motion that we accept that. Do I hear a second? But no, I really do appreciate it because, you know, we want you to work for us, the community. I know, and I want you to really try to keep it in-house, because in the end, with your positions, I know this from experience because of my father, you're going to get a wonderful pension and benefits when you retire. Just to let you know, I know from firsthand experience, so, and it's going to come from us, so we appreciate you giving and taking at this point. The other thing, just a real quick question, is do you have grant writers? Do you have people that write your grants for you?
I heard that they're very reasonable and they do it day in and day out. I think the fire budget.
We have used grant writers.
Yeah. I mean, there's the county writes some of them for our road programs. We partner with the Metro Parks on a grant program we'll receive for the restroom at Keener Park. But there are Manica Smith, SSOE, some of the other Pogemeyer, they have grant writers on staff. And that's something that, you know, should any of our people ask it, I would not say no.
Okay, I'm just asking because I have written grants before that have been very successful. I have never been not funded for the grants I've written. So, and they've accumulated to quite a few dollars.
Numbers too.
So, yeah. So just, well, again.
Thank you.
My name's Sue Lopes. I've only been here a little over a year.
Welcome.
And thank you. My background is in human resource management, so I have to say that, and I'm familiar with the Employers Association, you should be able to get some job descriptions, some hiring information from them, maybe some interview questions, what not to ask. I think that you can do this process faster, but if you do it all yourself, it's going to take longer. If you reach out to other resources, it might be a little faster, and I think Employers Association would be one of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I just want to clear up that Mike Bell, Toledo, did take over Ottawa Hill Station, now sits empty. Just FYI.
Yep.
They sit empty.
They don't need it.
Unfortunately,
faster and better.
I disagree because the lady I take care of lives there, and their call responses are not that fast. But that's here and there. Second of all, Mike Bell and Springfield Township is a great fire department. I'll never say it's not. It's a good fire department. I grew up in Springfield Township. But our fire department is not a bad department either. No. So I don't care. If employee could be disgruntled. I don't care. We have a good fire department. We've been here a long time. And I plan on fighting to continue to do this. And we will not get anybody different than Chief Barry Kuzner over there is going to get to apply for these positions.
Amen. Yeah.
If he hires somebody, he hires our people. We're already here. So it's the same pool of people. So folks, we need to keep our fire department.
Heidi Hess, 7340 Mankin Court in Waterside. First of all, people know that I ran last year for trustee. I was not successful. It's okay. I knew I was underdog going in. But when I was running, my stand was that we need a full-time fire. Gavin came to me one day and said, we don't need full-time fire. It's not necessary. If we did, we'd have to get a levy. I said, I think we need full-time fire. Now he seems to be the expert on full-time fire. Barbara, you said you had about 100 people that didn't want us to.
No, I said in my conversations.
Okay.
That's not what I said.
I have 360 signatures that we got in about 4 days that want Mount Clova Fire to maintain Mount Clova Fire. And I just have one more statement with Springfield. And once again, I retired from Springfield Fire. I have 22 years in Springfield Fire. I have 38 years in Fire EMS. Springfield Fire is a fantastic fire department. I'll never deny that. I ran a lot with Mount Clova Fire through my years with Springfield. Mount Clova's next fire department. The Springfield's proposal or contract, however you want to call it, Station 52 is not manned. So with their proposal, they're going to take our money from our levy, man their station, our guys will have Mount Clova t-shirts on, or Mount Clova firefighter. It's still their station. It'll say Springfield Township in the front. It won't say Mount Clova in the front. And when there's a run in Springfield Township, they're not going to not go. They're going to go to that run. And that station will be empty, but our guys will have Mount Clova shirts on. I think that's wrong. Springfield's going to benefit a whole lot from that line. And I know for a fact that you're right. Every fire department across the United States is hurting for personnel. Last month, Toledo Fire had to shut down their ladder truck for Station 6 because they didn't have anybody to man it. And that's Toledo Fire. So I also teach. I teach EMS. I'm not fire anymore. I teach EMS. I have since 1987. I teach a lot of EMTs and I teach a lot of paramedics. Most of them are looking for jobs. They're young. We all were young at one time, and we all started out new. So I think we can get good firefighters and good EMTs and good paramedics. And the difference is the EMTs are basic, the advanced can start IVs, and the paramedics are higher level.
Thank you. Yes, you want to come.
Thank you. My name is Stacey Owen, and my family moved here a little over 39 years ago when I was 4 years old, so we have been longtime residents here. First of all, Barbara, I've known you for a while.
Yes, you have.
And I've listened to, I was not able to attend the last two meetings, but I tried to make this one so I could
right
be here.
Right, and you listened.
I listened, yes. I listened to the last two meetings, and the one thing I want to say, everything aside from everything that everybody has said, as somebody in leadership positions, and also somebody as me who's a business owner, anything that happens is always falls on me, even if it's not my my fault, or maybe it was my employee or something like that. And when I listen to you guys up here, and just the way you guys have acted is such a disappointment into the disrespect that I've heard from you guys talking to, and this isn't everybody, but the disrespect for the residents, the disrespect towards the chief, the attitudes, the rolling of the eyes. And as leadership in our community, no matter if you agree or you disagree, it's the same thing. If I disagree with a customer or anything like that, I still have to show respect. I still have to listen to what they have to say. Maybe we can come up with an idea together to be able to figure out what it is that we want. I know that the trustees is not an easy position, but as a trustee, you also have that leadership role of being able to treat everybody with respect. And, you know, Barbara, you had said about the hate mail that you got. And not that I'm saying that the hate mail is good. I think just overall, I think by listening to that first meeting on July 5th, I think it threw everybody off, a lot of the residents, because we are residents, you work for us, that the way that it was come across and the attitude and the things like that, I think was a discouragement to a lot of the residents around here. And I think that's what started this whole terminal of everything that's been going on for the last month. And the one thing I do, Chuck, I appreciate everything that you said. I think you took a stand and you listened to the residents in this area. And I appreciate you coming to the table tonight with that. A couple things I just want to talk about briefly.
Your
we know is
are,
the
are up, so
does anybody want to hear the you're cutting me off on that?
I'm just telling you, 2 minutes are up. You got
all right, well,
I'm going
to make it quick then. As a business owner, I cannot go to the bank and ask for $2.2 million without actually telling them what that money is for.
That's right.
They have not been able to tell us what this $2.2 million money is going to, or if it's staying here or going to Springfield Township. So, to me, I would say I will vote no on the levy until they can tell us exactly what that money is going to be used for.
Thank you. And, Stacy, Bruce, sorry if I disappointed you. The money is going for improved services to the fire department, and we're working through that process. We weren't ready on July 5th. We're working through the process from July 18th on.
I know, but if
you
got
the slide deck, you got
here. Nobody's going to vote.
If it doesn't stay here, means if we contract with somebody else,
absolutely.
You don't
the want residents
to
want
part.
The money.
We're working
stay
through
here.
That process, and you will know before the levy. As soon as we know, you'll know. We I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, how can
born.
You put something on a levy if you can't even tell us what
we had a
going
deadline
to.
For that levy? So if we wouldn't have
I
done
know,
that,
you should have a deadline for the residents, though, to have that, knowing that if it's going to stay or if it's going to consolidate, should have been at the time that was put in the deadline should have already been done. That we know that where that money is going.
Excuse me, 1 second though. I've been asking for a formal proposal, right, Chief? Or, you know, what's the cost? I've been getting a two-page summary of what it would be. And there were some errors in there that I had caught from, remember, on the two pages. This is not, can I see, please? Okay, please? We do now have a written proposal done very well with the description. So I'm just telling you, you were saying that we needed to make a decision before we had our levy. We couldn't make a decision at that time because we did not have the proper information.
Then it shouldn't be on the levy then. You can't submit something. That's like me going to the bank asking for money, but I don't have anything
okay.
for
so
it.
So if we don't have a levy,
that.
We don't have a fire department.
Right.
And there's deadlines for levies.
And whose responsibility is that?
What is the deadline for the levy?
It was
August 1st.
We had
but the process, it's just not us deciding. It goes to all these different people, so you had to do it way before. We needed to start it way early. So I need to continue with a public comment because we're going to end this fire session. So I'm in the third row. Sure, come on up.
My oldest of five children,
Jeremy
Rands, 2921 Barnwood.
Thank you.
You've mentioned me three times tonight, I think you know who I am.
Yeah. It's for the record.
My oldest of five children became a cadet here at the fire department, which led him to enlist in the Ohio National Guard as a combat medic. In less than a week, Monclova Township is sending one of their own to serve our country in the Middle East for the next year. I am proud of our community that I live in. My feelings as of July 5th have changed, though. The day after I spent July 4th celebrating independence of our nation, I found myself sitting in the room appalled by the unprofessionalism and poor leadership of some sitting before us at this table. And since that time, I become even more distraught, confused, and concerned about the direction of our township and its elected officials. Dishonesty, personal vendettas, personal gain, abuse of power, clear disdain for the residents from its elected officials are being uncovered and revealed. It reveals an appearance of gross negligence. I myself have been a target of some of these abuses. One elected official has called and texted many of my church members. That's Gavin Pike. Family members of another elected official have called our church repeatedly, leaving voicemails and threatening a lawsuit because of a letter I sent to our community. This has become Looneyville, and the guilt lays here at the feet of our elected officials. There's a pattern of indecisiveness in leadership here. And now, based upon the words of our trustees, we are in a crisis. We are insufficient. We are understaffed in one of the most important areas in our township. It's our fire EMS services. Our trustees for 36 days have declared a crisis, and for 36 days have voted on no solutions. This is gross negligence at best. While in the middle of a crisis, I receive a letter for a meeting on August 15th to talk about a sewer line down on Clover Road. This multi-million dollar taxpayer-funded project trumps this crisis. What is going on in our community? Is this sewer project the most important thing? Or is it, again, like the fire EMS situation, dishonesty, personal gain, abuse of power? Banks are going to profit from this sewer line. Investors are going to borrow money to build this downtown district, being pushed by maybe some elected officials. Is there any personal gain for banks or capital investment companies? We're in a crisis for sure. And because of this crisis and no clear conclusion being offered by our elected officials, I humbly ask Trustee Lane to realize her gross negligence, inability to lead, and resign effective immediately as a trustee of Lane.
You know what, I'm not even going to answer the questions. I had them going and the end just threw me there. I will not be resigning. I hope to be appointed to the fire department liaison situation. So I'm next to Jeremy.
Well, and just Jeremy, because of the sewer line, give some background information there. So we talked about grants earlier. Well, there's a potential for an Ohio Public Works Commission grant. The deadline is application is October 1st. We'll pay for potentially pay for 49% of the sewer line. Okay. The township was fortunate enough to receive $1.4 million in American Recovery Act funds. Originally, when those funds were allocated to township, we could only spend those for certain things, one of which was sewer improvements. The federal government has now lowered that threshold, but at that time, that was on a consideration. So,
also the JED money.
And also our Joint Economic Development Zone is looking for a project to contribute to that. So the sewer line, you know, as far as would be a county, every sewer line in Lucas County is run by Lucas County. You know, so that project would be coordinated through them, and we're asking for the residents and property owners' input on there because of the potential grant application deadline for the Ohio Public Works Commission. So that would be a county project, that an opportunity to use the township's money that we received through the American Recovery Act, the grant for potentially 49% through the Ohio Public Works Commission to improve the quality of Swan Creek, to improve the historic district of downtown Monclova at no cost to the property owners. So when you say there's going to be banks benefiting from that, there wouldn't be any banks benefiting because there'd be no borrowed money.
And that's next meeting's discussion. If you're interested in the sewer, it is a very important project, much like annexation is a very important project. I did use the word crisis. I've tried to say this at every meeting. I did use the word crisis. I said this morning or this at the beginning of this meeting, that I've also learned that many other communities are in a similar crisis, and we all need to work through this. We met in those 30 days one or two times. We can only do this business here. This is how we have to do it. It takes time. It's how it works. And if you keep coming, you're going to see other projects look just like this. So I'm still in that third row. Okay, behind that row? Anybody in the back quadrant? Great. That ends the public comment to old business. So I'm bringing it back to the trustee discussion. Chuck put a proposal out. I was saying number one and two were number two and three were taken care of in the
executive session.
Number four is a family history nepotism policy. We have a nepotism policy. I brought that to this board through Harold for last meeting because this was an issue then. This is a good example of how long it takes us to work through a problem, right? So that policy needs updated. Do you want to direct Dawn to update that policy by comparing it to neighboring state national guidelines for fire?
You know, I'm sure, like I said, between the Employers Association, the Ohio Township, and the Ohio Fire Chief Association, that we can find a good model to mirror. Plagiarism is sometimes.
Number five is establishing a liaison, and this came from a conversation Chuck had with the chiefs that we tried to go to staff meetings and it didn't work out, and Chuck sat down with chiefs and had a conversation about a variety of topics, and this liaison idea came up. I surely don't mind doing administration and zoning. I think there would be some benefit for firefighters to get to know me, since I got the short straw reputation that's they're most angry at. And I think if you just go to the meeting, that ends.
Question for you. You guys have working sessions with officers or personnel?
Yeah,
or anything? Okay.
Yeah.
Are those recorded?
No. Could
they be recorded for public? I mean, we have working sessions and we're recorded. Might be a good idea for you guys to record your officer meetings.
I'm not sure. There's a lot of the items. Number one, we talk about personnel issues in there.
We could explore.
Yeah. But I'm not sure recording it is something that we would.
Could you check into that?
Could you record? Your point is like, how do we all get to know more about the department?
We don't
know
because we don't hear anything going on.
Can you think of?
I think my goal
is the idea that Chuck and I talked about with the liaison is
a good way to do it. Is there any other way?
Well,
keep it in the.
Well, just to hear directly from the employees rather than a go between thing, just to hear.
Well, you're welcome to come to that meeting too.
We can't all come to meetings.
Whoever the liaison.
That's what we thought we were doing. And, you know, what I've tried to avoid is.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion here, Barbara.
Do we need a motion for this?
Yes. To see who's going to be assigned to whose?
We can just agree to this.
Okay.
I don't need a goal of attending one meeting every other month to be established. I think that's a fair goal.
Okay. Well, if I take maintenance, which you don't know, but my husband, who happened to come in, thank you, Ken, in case you don't know, we do rental properties and things like this, plus with my business background, I love the maintenance department. You know, we mow, we repair, we do stuff, and I would be more than happy to go ahead and take the maintenance department. I think we got a good group out there. People would not realize how small our maintenance department is and what an excellent job they do for the township. Between the cemeteries, the roads, and everything else.
I just was at the park. It's amazing. Six months?
Yeah.
We're going to do this for 6 months till the end of the year, and
sure.
We'll reevaluate.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I'm going to suggest that at this time, Chuck take the fire department.
I got that.
And also that Barbara will head up the administration and the zoning.
That's the staff meeting.
Okay. What department would you like to take? What's extra?
It's the staff meeting.
Okay.
to do anything further, right, to implement, where is that November day you have? I cannot see that job. I put it clear down here at least, but we tried to do an award.
Well, I guess the
chief says he can take care of putting together proposals that I don't know that number six needs. I mean, that's up to chief. If that's how he wants to get it done, great, but he had a way to do it already. What I missed in chief's proposal was that hiring committee that you suggested, and I think it's mandatory that that hiring committee be in place.
That was included in his proposal. It talks about the interviews.
Okay. And who would be
and who would make up the committee at this
meeting? I think it could be Harold or Dawn. Probably Harold's a better choice, a more cost effective choice.
No, Harold would be part of the committee.
Yeah. And I was saying or Dawn, but Harold would be a more cost effective choice.
Well, we've had a couple trusts.
Do you
want to
be there though, Dawn? Is it important that you're there? I don't mean to be blocking you guys from that. That's good.
And we can discuss in executive session who the other two we can reach out to or reach out to us.
What other discussion needs done? You want to head to the rest of the agenda and come back to this after executive session? Is there more discussion then?
Outside of executive?
Right. Is there anything you two want to add? Oh, you two now. We're over here.
We're going to Harold's report.
Okay. So we're good for now with fire.
We'll come back, yes.
Okay. That takes us to new business. I don't see any. We didn't add any to the agenda, so we won't be discussing it. Harold, you have a couple of action items for us.
I do have a couple. First of all, we were working on our 2024 OPWC resurfacing project, which is Waterside and Old Town. My memo that I sent you says Old Farm. That's a mistake. It is Old Town at Waterside.
That makes sense.
And the Lucas County engineer will assist us with the application as normal, but we need to formally request that with a resolution and a request for engineering.
I move to approve resolution 08012022-01, authorizing the administrator to request engineering assistance from Office of Lucas County Engineer in preparing an OPWC application for the township's 2024 resurfacing project, including streets in Waterside and Old Town.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Next item,
we
signed a contract for micro-surfacing, and the county engineer will do construction administration and inspection for us if we formally request it.
I live on Plumbrook, but this is not an issue to vote on it because there's no direct.
I move to approve resolution 08012022-02, authorizing the administrator to request engineering assistance from the Office of Lucas County Engineer to provide construction administration inspection services for the micro-surfacing project in Burnbrook West, Mill Ridge Road, Plumbrook Road, and Hickory Hill Court.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And finally, we've been talking about the roundabout at Albin and Salisbury, and we have already determined that I could work with the county engineer to come up with a memorandum of understanding for us to take over the maintenance of that roundabout. I have more information. Basically, we would need to purchase and have four 8-foot Austrian pine trees installed there, and we would need to purchase a weed barrier that would go underneath the stone, and that would cost, well, I'm requesting $4,000 to cover the cost of doing that. The stone would be provided by the county engineer's office. We would haul it and put it in place.
We'd have to remove the existing vegetation.
We would have to remove the existing vegetation, yes.
And then just a question, the Montclova Valley roundabout that's under construction right now.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the county included in that for vegetation be used for hardscaping and pine trees?
I'm not sure what the design of that roundabout has. I will look into that.
So Harold, Chuck, on the roundabout, if you've gone around it, the weeds are atrocious, and the county doesn't step up too often to help with that kind of stuff. How often do they have to do something with
it? Three times a year.
So, you know, it is our township. It looked nice. If you guys have seen the one at King and Centennial, they have rocks, just a couple evergreen trees, very low maintenance. If we leave it up to the county, it will probably look like that for the next 10 years. So I move to approve $4,000 for the purchase of trees and supplies to upgrade the center island of the Alvin and Salisbury roundabout to new county engineer specifications.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
I know. I don't like the plan. I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
So the rest of my memo is information, and if there are any questions, I would be happy to address them.
I don't have anything else, Harold.
All right, that takes us to an executive session. Grab my papers. I move to have an executive session for the purpose of discussion of salary increases and employee discipline.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. I'll give you 5 minutes, Chuck. I know you don't want to talk to everybody. I need a water. We'll do it in 5 minutes. I make a motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. We need to discuss giving Chief some tools to solve the part-time and paid-per-call employee weekend mischiefs. And I would think salary is one of those great tools. So I have a motion. Well, let's see if I can get it right, guys. I have a motion for weekend pay through the end of the year for firefighter EMT, firefighter advanced EMT, firefighter paramedic, lieutenant, and captain for an additional hourly rate of $5 for any weekend hour from 7 p.m. Friday to 7 a.m. Monday, effective the start of the next pay period on August 11th.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Lane.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Did I say that the same way that I said it prior, Chief? Did I get it?
It wasn't the same way, but
I make a motion to increase weekend pay until the end of the year for a recruit from the current rate to $15, and a recruit with training from the current rate to $18, effective the start of the next pay period, 8-11, and for the weekend hours from 7 p.m. Friday to 7 a.m. Monday.
To the end of the year.
I did get that in there. Yep, until the end of the year.
Second.
I didn't say it the same way either. Do you have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes. We're hoping that solves some immediate issues. Prior, we instructed Dawn to work on a nepotism policy that is familiar. We established a trustee liaison. We will be calling interview committee members to help us if we move in that direction. Is there anything else we want to accomplish tonight?
Yeah. All right. I will make a motion to authorize Chief Bernhardt to the post for the hiring of up to 9 full-time firefighter paramedics and advanced EMTs. Minimal staffing will be 1 paramedic and 1 certified engine driver per shift. Salary range is described in Chief Bernhardt's request, with full health care and pension benefits currently being provided to other township employees. Each potential new full-time employee is subject to successful background check, pre-employment testing, and 100-day probationary period.
100. I want to second that motion with some discussion. You said up to 9, and in the conversation we had prior to this,
it was nine.
Okay.
So the motion would need to be changed, and I'd like a goal added to the motion for completion.
I will amend the motion then to 9 full-time firefighters with a hiring goal of November 1st, 2022.
He was amending it, and I missed it. I'm being recorded,
I got distracted. I'll reread the motion.
Thank you, Chuck.
I move to authorize Chief Bernhardt to post for the hiring of 9 full-time firefighter paramedics and advanced paramedic EMTs, a total of 9.
Can I ask for clarification? My proposal was for EMT, paramedics, and then 3 EMTs. And you're adding the advanced. That is a very small number of people that have advanced EMTs.
So how about a combination of advanced EMTs and EMTs?
Paramedics and EMTs. Okay. 6
because advanced EMTs equal...
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I said it. How... Right, okay.
6 paramedics and then 3 advanced.
3 advanced or EMTs.
Okay.
Yes.
So, once again, I'll
just keep trying.
I authorize Chief Bernhardt to post for the hiring of up to... I authorize Chief Bernhardt to post for the hiring of 9 full-time firefighter paramedics and EMTs, with minimal staffing of 1 paramedic and certified engine driver per shift, salary range described in Chief Bernhardt's request, with full health care and pension benefits being provided to other township employees. Each potential new full-time employee be subject to successful background check, pre-employment testing, and 120-day probation period. We will have a hiring goal of November 1st, 2022.
Second. With that second, can I ask for some discussion?
Certainly.
Just
for clarification, I guess not stated in the motion, but 6 paramedics would be optimal.
Right. Got it.
But we don't want 9 EMTs.
Oh, got it.
Well,
I understand.
I don't know if we want 9 paramedics.
Or we want 9 paramedics.
For cost. Right.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay.
I swear to God, I'm trying to be. And Chief said in our discussion previous that he had a timeline that was more like the end of September. Am I correct?
Based on that, I think we can, yes, but definitely can.
You laid out the whole timeline, and I can go back and listen, but it's somewhere near the end of September. And when you involve a committee, which you didn't have in your timeline, it might take a little bit longer.
That committee wasn't a timeline.
Yeah, we did have the committee.
Oh, it wasn't a timeline?
Yes. There was a little different
right.
makeup of what you suggested versus what he had suggested.
Okay, so 9:30 is what you think you can do it. We're extending that goal to November 1st. Okay. I think there's room for more conversation and more work for this board to do. I understand this proposal completely, and if I would vote no on it, it would be because I think we can still have conversations. I just wanted to add that.
There's always room for improvement, enhancement.
You're absolutely right. That's what I'm sitting here debating, right? Right, I'm sitting here debating that for myself right now, and right, November 1st, we can say...
I mean, absolute worst case, nobody applies, and then we're like...
Yep, so I'm trying to figure out what the right thing to do is when I wasn't... Yeah, okay.
Absolute best case, we get,
25 people that are all highly qualified.
Right.
Be a great case. So there was a motion that we finally got right. There was me seconding it. You want to do the call?
Yeah. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. I'm debating my yes still.
Well, then we also talked about, working on the recruitment plan. That'll be a work in progress, hopefully.
With your EAP or your marketing team that you want. We're talking about increasing training. We're talking about a strategic committee. Can we put all that under old business on the first meeting in September?
Okay.
Sound good?
Great.
Okay. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have clarification on the hiring committee?
Or not?
You brought up in one of the meetings to give us in the meantime for all of us that are working. An extra $1 an hour pay, is that not an option?
What, $5 an hour?
No,
but
no,
you're only doing
that's
that
only on the weekends.
December.
Oh,
right.
We're
that's
doing
only
that
on
to
weekends.
Help with weekend staffing because there was
but,
only one
I mean,
person here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying because obviously the same issue is Springfield does pay $10 more an hour than we do.
As we work through the salaries with Chief, paying part time and part time are part of that process.
We do have still wheel them the step wage and the longevity ideas coming later on, so we're going to discuss that.
You're right.
We're not going to solve everything tonight.
Right. So that's happening right now. It gives you some immediate tools. It gives you a framework for the future. We are working on our portion of the interview committee. You're working on your portion of the interview committee. You're putting out the posts. We put three other things on the agenda for the future.
Maybe
what
we send
I
out alerts saying, now hiring full-time fire.
Oh, my God, no.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
No, just the interview committee. We've discussed names, and that has to be followed through with.
Yep, I will start.
Carol, you got another job description?
Right, Harold, all this has increased your workload a ton too, so please bring to us. You might need assistance in one way or another to get some of this extra work done. Bring that forward as well. We are a lean, mean staff, always have been. I still think I should have said. Okay, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Hey, you're the chair. You can make a motion.